This is ReachMD. Welcome to Cracking the Code on Peanut Allergies, brought to you through an independent educational grant from Aimmune Therapeutics. Here's your host, Mario Nasanovich.
Oral immunotherapy, or OIT, is a therapy used worldwide for the treatment of food allergies. But where did OIT begin, and how are healthcare professionals across the world approaching OIT differently? This is Cracking the Code on Peanut Allergies, and I'm Mario Nasanovich. Joining me to discuss the origins and global insights on oral immunotherapy is Dr. Jonathan Spergel, Chief of Allergy Section at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. Dr. Spergel, it's nice to meet you.
It's nice to meet you as well.
So let's start with a refresher on this treatment approach. What is oral immunotherapy specifically, and how is it currently used to treat food allergies?
So oral immunotherapy is sort of an old idea that's been around for a long time, but it's really coming back into sort of more common use in the last several years. The idea is similar to what immunotherapy is, and immunotherapy itself has been around for 100-plus years. It's just make your body slowly get used to things. This is what basically allergy shots is. You give a little bit at a time, you're slowly increasing, your body gets used to it. Oral immunotherapy is doing, instead of by allergy shots, is taking the food or the allergen, taking it slowly by mouth and slowly making your body get used to it, training your immune system that this is not a dangerous substance, that this is a substance that you should be, say, hey, this is not dangerous, I can take it.
And as a treatment option, is oral immunotherapy on the rise within the allergy specialist community?
So oral immunotherapy is currently in the United States not standard of care, but it's been used on various research protocols from a single food in various NIH trials to the large immune clinical trial. There are other variants on peanut therapy being done for oral immunotherapy. It is also being done by a large number of practitioners using variations on these protocols now. So it is definitely on the rise. It's not reached the point that every allergist is doing at this point, but it's definitely becoming more common.
So now I'd like to explore the origins of oral immunotherapy. So from your own experience, when did healthcare professionals really begin to adopt this form of therapy into practice?
It's an interesting question. So immunotherapy itself goes back hundreds of years. And it went away for a long time because there was a belief that avoidance was the way to make people outgrow their allergies. About 15 to 20 years ago, there were some studies out of Italy using oral immunotherapy to treat some food allergy. And that was really based on the practice in Europe. They did a lot of oral immunotherapy to treat pollen allergies. And some of the pollen allergies cross-react with food allergies. And they were finding some benefit along those lines. So it really started back then, and it really sort of had come to the U.S. initially by some small practitioners, but really the push forward was really done by the NIH and the Consortium for Food Allergy Research, or COFAR, did some clinical trials on oral immunotherapy, particularly for peanut and milk, looking at to use that to move that forward. With those publications, people began to see that, hey, it worked. Then some general allergist practices said, hey, they created their own sort of protocols and have adapted those protocols using sort of garden variety products off the grocery store and say, hey, we can really, it seems to work. Let's move it forward.
So with that background, let's dive into the origins of oral immunotherapy throughout Europe. Can you speak to the emergence of OIT there and whether it was conceived or implemented differently from the American approaches?
It is a different approach in Europe, and parts of Europe have adapted it differently. There's different practices. There's slightly different allergens. Milk and peanut and egg are pretty common most places in the world, but not in all of Europe. Different parts of Europe eat things slightly differently than the U.S. So people have had slightly different practices, and things have taken off slightly differently. And the implementation has been different in the United States. The implementation has really gone down two paths. In the United States, sort of the large NIH clinical trials, and there's some other smaller research trials and the big pharma trial, and there's also a private practice model in the United States. In Europe, a lot of the growth has been less pharma and practices, there's been some research institutes, clinical trials in Europe, less than the U.S., more in certain countries like Germany and England have more than sort of Italy and Spain. And so in Italy and Spain has been driven more by the practitioners, and they've developed beginning to develop guidelines, which I think we need to talk about a little later on, is where those things are in terms of what's now finally beginning to hit the next step.
So with respect to where we are at the present, is it safe to call OIT one of the main treatment options for food allergies in both Europe and America?
The issue is right now we have no other therapy besides avoidance. So OIT is probably the one that's the most advanced in terms of potential future therapies for oral immunotherapies for research. There's a lot of things ongoing to figure out that next step. In terms of treatment, in one place in Europe, in Spain, they've developed a sort of national guidelines on how to do it. No one else has done that yet. The rest of Europe and the United States are still calling it more research than true standard of care. It's beginning to approach standard of care in many places, in some experienced practitioners, but we got a while to go still. We're approaching it. There's a lot of things we still need to learn how to do it safely. So we're not there yet, but we're approaching it.
So for our listening audience, just so we can be absolutely crystal clear for them, how do the current guidelines or standard practices surrounding OIT relate or differ between Europe and America?
In the United States, the current standard of care is not to do OIT. That may change in the very near future. And the guidelines, as there's enough evidence being built up by the clinical trials, both from various foundations and the NIH, as well as some very large practice data that's been developed, it's beginning to develop, be sort of out of the research phase. In Europe, it's about the same, except with one exception where they published guidelines on how to do it in one country. So most places, it's beginning to sort of hit that tipping point. It has not, none of the countries now say yes to do it, but that could change in the next several years. So I think we're just on the forefront of that.
Are there any shared or unique barriers to adoption for OIT here versus in Europe?
Sure, there's definitely shared and unique things in the United States and Europe. The shared things are more patient-specific, and this is more on educating patients on what the risks and the benefits are of oral immunotherapy and how to do it. It is a very time-consuming procedure. Typically, oral immunotherapy is you come up to what we call updose. You get increasing doses every 2 weeks. And when you get updose, you have to be observed for anywhere, depending on the protocol, hour to 2 hours after the dose to make sure you're safe. Most patients, when they're doing oral immunotherapy, get mild reactions, and there's a percentage, and it's a pretty consistent percentage, around 10% will get anaphylaxis. And that's going to be through, right now, any study we see, because that's the way human body is. That you're giving something they're allergic to, and you're slowly making them less allergic. A lot of patients are going to have allergic reactions. So that's a true stumbling block. The next big issue is sort of unique to countries and insurances. It's how to pay for it, right? Insurance in the United States is different than insurance in Europe. Europe, many parts of Europe have a single-payer system, not all do. And the question is, will they say, hey, this is a good way to pay it? Will they pay for the provider's time to do it so they can actually do it, unless it takes time? In the United States, will insurance companies pay for it? Will the federal government insurance plans pay for it, how they will pay for it, will they compensate people enough for the time and effort? So these are major logistics and financial stumbling blocks. And the other big issue is many patients are multi-food allergic. There's a few published publications on multi-food OIT that really needs to be worked out, because I think if someone's allergic to multiple foods, they don't want to spend 6 months to a year doing one food, then another 6 months to a year do another food. They want to do them all at once. So those details need to be sort of worked on as well.
So that's actually a very good segue to our next part in our discussion, where we want to understand a little bit about the ongoing research or practice improvement efforts that are underway to address some of these continuing challenges to adopting OIT.
So one of the biggest challenges is how to address patients who have more than food allergy, how to standardize different foods, because what's been most worked out has been peanuts, and they took good old peanut flour and standardized it, but what about for milk and egg? And there's various protocols, whether you do milk in a liquid form, or you do a baked milk, or do you do powdered milk? And the same thing can exist for any other food. And then are there biologics that can reduce the rate of adverse events? There's other clinical trials ongoing to look to cut down the side effects or the adverse event profile of OIT, trying to look at safer. So those are sort of the big things I think need to be worked on, is how to standardize dosing, how to reduce the side effects. And the other big question is, how long do you need to do it for, right? Do you need to do it for the rest of your life? Or can you just do it, okay, you've done it for 1 year, then stop, or are you done? And that probably answer for that one, 1 year is probably not enough. Almost every study has shown when you stop it after a year, about 75% of the people go back to where they were before. So when after 3 years, the number looks closer to 40 to 50%. So maybe we need to do it 5 years or 10 years. We don't know what the right number is. Maybe you don't need to take peanut every day at that point, or a glass of milk every day. Maybe it's three times a week. I think these are important questions that we don't have the answer for yet. We don't know where people need to go next.
Before we wrap up, Dr. Spergel, I'd love to get some insights on what you think that future does hold for OIT. Are there any unique directions you see this treatment approach heading?
I think in the next several years, it's going to be approached closer to mainstream. It's not there yet. And I think these issues that I was talking about of how to do multi-food OIT is going to be one of the biggest issues. And it's an important question as we go forward. What's the right time to figure that out? I think that's where it's heading. And there's all these other therapies in food allergy. I know we've primarily talked about oral immunotherapy, but there's other therapies under investigation. Would they be better, worse, used as a supplement, used as a maintenance, compared to oral immunotherapy? There's a lot of things that's promised, but a lot of unanswered questions at the current time.
Well, unfortunately, between looking back and then forward on this topic, we've run out of time now. But I want to thank my guest, Dr. Jonathan Spergel, for sharing his insights on oral immunotherapy, both in the U.S. and abroad. Dr. Spergel, it was absolutely great having you on the program here today.
Thank you so much for letting me share my insight.
You've been listening to Cracking the Code on Peanut Allergies, brought to you through an independent educational grant from Aimmune Therapeutics. To access other episodes in this series, visit reachmd.com/peanutallergies. This is ReachMD. Be part of the knowledge.